Yes, Revelation chapter 10, and I want to draw your attention tonight to in the verse 7, where we read, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." God's mystery finished is our subject tonight. We have been looking at this mighty angel, who he is and what he does. He makes this oath. He raises his hand to heaven and he makes this oath and says that there should be time no longer, that there should be no delay anymore. And verse 7, our text, is given as part of that oath, and it is this verse that I want to focus upon tonight. This mighty angel of the covenant, this messenger from heaven, who is sovereign over earth and sea, with the rainbow, the sign of the covenant, upon his head, is uttering these words. Verse 7 are the words of this mighty angel. They are not a commentary by John. The angel is speaking these words as part of the oath, part of what he is promising. And the words are, in actual fact, an explanation and an expansion of that fact that there shall be no more delay and opportunity is over. I point out the persons in the verse. At the center is God, talks about the mystery of God. And then on the one side, there is the seventh angel that is referred to, the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. And then on the other side, there is reference to the prophets, God's servants, the prophets. And those are the persons that are mentioned in the text, and we'll come to them in a moment. But the important expression is the phrase, "the mystery of God." The mystery of God, that's the important phrase, and that's at the heart of the verse. And this thought that the mystery of God will be finished, it will be completed. Now, concerning the mystery of God, we have to ask several things, and that's what I want to do tonight. Several questions, and those questions will form our heads, are our main points, and we will endeavour to answer each of those questions. Now, there are three questions about this mystery of God. And the first question is, what is meant by the mystery of God? What does that expression mean? And then secondly, we will ask, where and how this mystery of God has been revealed. How has it been revealed, and where is it revealed? And then thirdly, how and when will this mystery of God be finished? When will it be completed? Because it says the mystery of God should be finished. And so we have to ask when and how is that, and what does that mean? So those are the three main headings. First of all, then, what is meant by the mystery of God? Well, let me say negatively, first of all, that it is not the mystery about God. It's not that. It's not the mystery of his being. It's not the mystery of his personality, or of his triune nature. It's not the mystery of his essence. It doesn't make sense in the context to talk of the mystery of his essence being finished. How can the essence of God be finished? How could the being of God, the mystery of his being, be finished? So it's not the mystery of God himself. No doubt God is incomprehensible. God is unknown in his essence, and undoubtedly there is much mystery about his being. And that will always be so. God is incomprehensible, he's infinite and eternal and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power. He always dwells in light that is inapproachable. He'll never be fully known, never be fully comprehended. The only one who knows God is himself. The Father, the Son knows God, and the Spirit knows God. And there's no sense in which that mystery of God's person and being should be finished. So it's not talking about the mystery about God himself. The mystery here is not then the mystery about God, but we could say it is God's mystery. God's mystery. The mystery of his plan. The mystery of his purposes. The mystery of his counsel and of his will. That's what we're talking about. The mystery of God. What he has revealed in his mind. What his purpose and plan is. The mystery is God's saving purpose. His plan to save multitudes through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Through the preaching of the gospel. That's what's meant by God's mystery. This plan and purpose that has been in the mind of God from he made the world, even before he made the world. His mind that was hidden and concealed, but that he is pleased to reveal, to show to his servants, the prophets. That's the mystery of God. It is what is affected by him in time. His plan that is being fulfilled day by day and generation by generation until the last day. And it's all completed. Finished and completed by him, the plan in his mind, completed by the end of time. The mystery here is a secret or hidden thing in the mind of God, not discoverable by human reason or by human understanding alone. The mystery of his purpose that cannot be understood by creation. You can study the flowers, you can study the planets, you can study the creation, you can study all the depths of the ocean and all the creatures, and you'll never come up with this mystery, this plan that's in his mind. To save souls, to save sinners through Jesus Christ. That's the mystery. Can't find it in creation. Can't find it through a microscope. Can't find it through a telescope. It's his purpose and plan. It can be and is, as we shall see, discoverable through God's revealing it, through God's revelation. But not till then, not till he reveals it by his word, it can't be known. And so the mystery of God here is his purpose, his course, his plan, his counsels, what he intends to do, and which he has revealed in his word. That's God's mystery. And it takes time for all of that to be fulfilled. It takes time for all his counsel to come to a completion. It takes time for it all to be finished in the last day of time. It takes time. But one day, it'll be completed. And time will be no more. And there'll be no more need for delay. And there'll be no more need for time at all. Because that plan for this present earth will have been completed. And this is what is meant by the mystery of God. So just to be brief and to put it in a word, while it includes all of God's revealed counsel and will, every prophecy, if you like, everything he's revealed in his word from his mind, it mainly has reference in the context of the Great Commission and gospel preaching. That's what these two chapters are about, chapter 10 and chapter 11, the angel with the book recommissioning John to prophesy again to the nations, and then the two witnesses in chapter 11 declaring the gospel, being persecuted, the preaching of the gospel. It mainly has reference to the saving of God's elect, to the building of the church, to the bringing in of sinners, to the bringing in of Jews and Gentiles to be saved. It's God's plan to save multitudes. This is a mystery of God. His plan to save multitudes through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so this mystery is good news. It's gospel revelation. We know that because the word declared in the text, which he hath declared to his servants the prophets, that word, that verb there, has the sense of bringing or telling good news, good tidings. And so this mystery is, when it's revealed, it's good tidings, it's good news. What God's going to do for sinners is how God's going to save Jews and Gentiles. It's how God's going to build his church and have a great temple at the end of time that he will inhabit. It's good news, this mystery, this plan in his mind. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This plan is glad tidings. And he's declared it as glad tidings to his servants, the prophets. But let us look at some verses where this word mystery is used. And it is used quite frequently in the New Testament scriptures. Romans chapter 11, Paul uses it quite a bit, and this is all our references that we'll use tonight actually will be from Paul, though Jesus himself uses the word. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Here's a mystery. Now, it's not all the mystery of God, but it's part of it. This is one of the mysteries. There are hundreds and thousands that have been revealed in the Bible, but this is only one of them. This divine mystery. And we shouldn't be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, he says, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And what is that mystery? Well, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. So here's one mystery of God, and it relates to Jews and the Gentiles, to Israel and to the Gentiles. This is God's plan. Now, we see this being worked out in time in relation to Jews, to Israel, and to the Gentiles. But how did Paul know about it in advance? It was revealed by God in the Scriptures. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, this thing that God has revealed, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, what is blindness? All men have blindness, and blindness is what prevents men being saved. And nobody would be saved because all are blind. But the mystery of God is, for Israel, this blindness will only be in part, just part blindness. Because through God's grace, that blindness will have limitations. Not all Israel will be blinded. No, there'll be Jews saved. There'll be many Jews saved. God's grace will reach the Jews and there'll be a remnant out of Israel who'll be saved. So if there's blindness in part, that means there'll be part who will see and who'll be saved and who'll be redeemed. And there'll be many Jews yet to be saved. And you shouldn't be discouraged working amongst Jews. And Paul says, I'm not discouraged evangelizing Jews and I'm praying for Jews because I know the blindness is only in part. Because God's mystery has said there'll be many Jews saved. And one day all Israel will be saved. That's part of the mystery. And so you'll see that it relates to the salvation of souls, to the bringing in of the Jews. But as well as many Jews, a Jewish remnant always being saved, there is also the Gentiles. Because this partial blindness amongst Jews, many blinded, but still many will be saved. Many will see, there'll be a remnant. And this will continue. And all the while this will continue, there'll be a fullness of Gentiles brought in. There'll be people saved from all lands and nations, from all cultures and all parts of the world. The fullness of the Gentiles. God's going to save multitudes of Gentiles. This is the mystery. This is what God has revealed in his word. And so, God is going to save multitudes, bring in his church, and there's going to be a church made up of Jews and Gentiles, and he'll build his church, and it'll become a great edifice, a great temple. And then one day it'll be finished, it'll be complete. And the mystery of God will be finished. And there's no need for time anymore. An opportunity will be over. This is what it means. So Jews will be saved, and eventually even all Israel will be saved, because it says that in the text, God hasn't finished working with Israel. Now, there are differences of opinion what all Israel means in the text, and I'm not going to go into that, but it certainly means that there's going to be a lot of people saved. It's not discouraging work being a missionary amongst the Jews, although it is hard and difficult at times. And multitudes of Jews will be brought in, even as Israel continues in partial unbelief. And maybe even one day Israel itself will have all their eyes open and be saved. This is the mystery of God. And in this way, his power shall bring it to pass. Until, as I say, one day the mystery will be finished. That's one use of the word mystery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have another use of the word by the Apostle Paul again. This is a particularly appropriate text because this text mentions the trump, the last trump, which also our Lord mentions here when the angel shall sound, the seventh angel, the last trump shall sound. So it's particularly appropriate. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, a mystery isn't something that's unrevealed and hidden and can never be discovered. No, Paul knows it, and he's going to show it to us. It's discoverable through the word. He says, I'm going to show you a mystery, one of the divine mysteries. And what is that divine mystery? Well, the divine mystery is we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. We're not all going to go to the tomb, but we are all going to be changed. Everyone, all the dead, and even the living when the Lord comes back again. We're all going to be changed. God has revealed that. That's one of his mysteries that he's told us about. will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So here's something else that God has planned and purposed and ordained and revealed in his word. You notice it's concerning his people. His people that he sent his son into the world today for. His people that he called in the gospel. It's concerning all his people. Not some of them. Not the most part of them. All of them. We all shall be changed. The whole church. Every believer. This is the mystery of God. This is his plan and purpose concerning his redeemed people, that he's going to change them all, every one of them. And so it relates to all of the saints to be changed. Now, of course, to be changed, they first have to be saved. They have to be redeemed by blood. They have to be born again in time. Thousands of years have to pass so that the last one is saved and the last one is brought in, and then it's finished. They'll all be changed then, at the end of time, at the last trump. When that last angel blows the trumpet, they'll all be changed, every one of them. And so Paul is revealing that mystery. The saints departed who have died, they'll be raised incorruptible. And the living saints, at the end of time, they won't have to die, but they'll be changed. So that the dead and the living are all changed, and we are forever with the Lord. So you can see that the mystery here, again, relates to the church. It relates to God's plan in his mind of saving all his elect for whom he has sent his son into the world to die for and to buy with his blood and to bring in and convert them in the preaching of the gospel. That's his mystery. That's his plan. That's a divine mystery. And one day it's going to be finished, completed. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul has a lot to say about the mystery in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, the word occurs quite a number of times in this epistle to the Ephesians. I'll just briefly refer you to them without going into expounding the texts in any kind of detailed way. Ephesians 1 verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Here's a divine mystery. Where is it? What is it? It's his will. What he's planned in his mind, what he's purposed. That's his purpose. And he's pleased to reveal it. And when he reveals it, it's the divine mystery revealed. According to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. What is this mystery? Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also he have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So what Paul is talking about here is God's people are all going to be saved. He's going to bring them in. This is his purpose. This is his plan. His elect are going to have an inheritance. This is his will. He has revealed this in the scriptures. This is his mind that he has declared. In the fullness of time, it's going to take time to get them all in. They have to be born. Some won't be born for generations yet to come, perhaps. They all have to be born. It'll take thousands of years, but he's going to get them all in. He's going to gather them all together in Christ, all the saved. In the fullness of time. And then whenever that's complete, and they're all one in Christ, the purpose for which this world has created has ended. And time no more. No more need for delay. They're all in. The inheritance is all in. The elect are all in. They're all saved. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Here again, something that God reveals. It's his mind. He's made known to his apostles and prophets the mystery. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's the Spirit who reveals the divine mystery. And what is the divine mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery. That the Gentiles will be brought in. And they'll become the fellow heirs with the saved Jews in one body. In one body. One church. And they'll all be partakers of Christ, of the promises of Christ through the gospel. He says, I'm a minister, that's why I'm a minister. And I preach to the Gentiles, and I preach to the Jews, and I'm preaching to gather them all in. And there'll be other preachers, and they'll do the same. And as all the preachers preach the gospel and obey that great commission of that mighty angel, they'll all be gathered in. And so this is part of the divine mystery. The purpose of God to save sinners. And when the last one is saved, the mystery is complete. The second question relates to the revelation of the mystery. Where and how has it been revealed? Well, what does it say there in our text? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And so it's a revealed mystery. Not only is the completion of the mystery revealed, but the mystery itself is revealed. It's been revealed. A mystery in the Bible is something that has been hidden in the mind of God, but it has been revealed. He's revealed it. And the divine mystery has been revealed. His plans and purposes have been manifested. Now, there's two ways in which they are revealed and manifested. One of the ways is as time is fulfilled. You can see his purpose being fulfilled. You see it being fulfilled. You see Jews being saved and Gentiles being saved. And God was purposing all of that because that's what's happened. He's purposed that. That must be his mind. That's the way it's been carried out. That must have been his mind. But you only look past to see it fulfilled. God come and revealed it before it was fulfilled. And that's when it's a mystery. When he reveals it hundreds of years or thousands of years before the completion of it. And that's what God has done. He's revealed to his servants, the prophets, the divine mystery, the plan and purpose that was in his mind. Now, indeed, he hasn't revealed all his plans and all his purposes. All the books in the world couldn't possibly contain all that's revealed in his mind. But he has revealed the important things that we need to know. And he hasn't revealed it all at once, but he's revealed it bit by bit through the prophets, through the New Testament apostles, bit by bit. And that's implied in those texts that I've already quoted, that it has been revealed. That's why Paul says, brethren, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant of the mystery. It's in the Bible. You don't need to be ignorant of the mystery. God has revealed it. It's not mysterious in that sense that you can't know it. No, it's a mystery because it's come out of the mind of God and it's been revealed. And now that it's been revealed, we shouldn't be ignorant of it. We should know what God's plan and purpose is, what his purpose for the Gentiles is, what his purpose for the Jews is, how he's going to complete his church. It's all revealed. We should know and we should believe. And then he says to the Corinthians, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm showing it to you. There's nothing hard about it. There's nothing difficult about it. It's come out of the mind of God. but I'm showing it to you. And then he says, having made known unto us in Ephesians 1 verse 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his will. So it's not something hidden, something concealed away in dark places, and you have to be a special kind of person to know about it. No, he's made it known. You just have to be able to read your Bible. You just have to lean on the Spirit of God to give you understanding of the Scriptures. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So it has been revealed. This mighty angel is revealing it as well. And he tells us that the mystery of God has been declared to his servants, the prophets. God revealed it. Now, who else could do that? No one knows the mind of God but God himself. The Son knows the mind of God, and the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, but no one else. Unless God is pleased to reveal his mind. And what he reveals out of his mind is God's mystery. The mystery of his mind. His purpose. His mysterious ways. And that which is revealed not in the creation, but is revealed in special revelation. He has declared it to his servants, the prophets. What did Daniel say? There's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king what shall be in the latter days. It's God that does it. Unless God tells his mind, nobody's going to get inside God's head. He's going to have to reveal it. How does he reveal it? Does he come along to you personally and tell you? No. He tells his prophets. It's been declared by God to his prophets. The gospel, the revelation. The revelation concerning the Lamb slain, the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh, the power of the blood, the effects of the mediatorial reign of Jesus Christ, the countless multitudes of sinners that are to be saved, the building up of the church, the bringing in of the Gentiles, the salvation of all of Israel, the destruction of God's enemies, the putting down of God, of the Antichrist. It's all revealed in his mind and told to the prophets. The triumph of the gospel at the end. It's all revealed. And we're told to whom he revealed it, to his prophets, to his servants, the prophets. Not to all and sundry, not to you and me, but to a very special class of people, his servants, the prophets, to them. It wasn't a personal, direct revelation to every human being, but it was to a unique and very special class of people that are called here his servants. The prophets. And so that was how the revelation of the mystery was made, through the prophets. God gave them the revelation. Now, of course, he didn't give it to them for themselves. They were rated down and he gave it to them for us all. But it come through the prophets. And we have it here in the text. And even them themselves couldn't understand a whole lot of the things that they wrote down. They have to search and seek just the way you and I have to search and seek. But it was revealed into their mind so that the text is the mystery of God. God's word, inspired, infallible. And the prophets wrote our Bible and we have the divine mystery in it. We have to study it. We have to search it out. And we're not to be ignorant of it. And we have to understand. And especially we have to believe. Believe. Now this expression, his servants, the prophets, is a biblical one. It occurs quite frequently in the Old Testament scriptures. God had his servants, and he put them in the prophetic office, and they were a very special class of men. They were very godly, very, very holy men. They were in touch with God. They had the Holy Spirit upon them, and they received divine revelations. They were very special. And we read, for example, in such things as the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant, Ahijah the prophet. Ahijah the prophet was his servant. And God spake through his servant, his mystery. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16, Elijah the prophet, he came near, and he drew near, and you remember how he said, Lord God of Abraham, I am thy servant. I'm your servant, Lord. He knew it. Elijah the prophet knew it. He was God's servant. He received the revelation of the mystery. Now, remember how it says in the Bible concerning the servants of the Lord, prophets, how that they were slain at the hand of Jezebel. 2 Kings 21, verse 10, the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets. This is pulled right out of the Old Testament scriptures, what this angel is saying. What he's declared to his servants, the prophets. Jeremiah frequently uses this expression. Whenever he's testifying of God, God says, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. And still you're in unbelief. And still you're in rebellion. And I got them up early in the morning. And I sent my servants, the prophets. Jeremiah's saying that all the time. As he's weeping his heart out at the hardness of their heart. The servants of the prophets got up out of their beds early. And they declared unto you the mystery of God. Remember Daniel whenever he prayed? That day, that time of fasting that he had before God. And he says, oh God, we've sinned. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. We haven't listened to them. And a couple of times he says that. And Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret, his mystery, unto his servants, the prophets. And this angel's taking that expression out of the whole Old Testament scriptures, and he's talking about the mystery that had been declared to them. So the Holy Spirit was upon them. They received revelation, they were inspired. So what they wrote was the mystery of God, his revealed mind, and the book that we have before us. And it's represented by that book that this angel has in his hand, which the prophet has to eat all up and devour in a wee moment. And one day, when this mighty angel says so, the mystery that has been revealed by his servants, the prophets, will be finished. And all God's purposes and all the prophecies will have been completed. And there'll be no more need for time. And so he lifts up the heaven and says, no more delay, it's all finished. It's done. The church will be completed. The great temple will have been built. All will have been gathered in, Jews and Gentiles. The whole number of God's elect saved. And the divine mystery complete. That's what's meant by this in the text. Then the third question, and the final question, that relates to the when and the how when this will take place. When? Verse 7, what does it say? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So we're told when. It's when the seventh angel begins to sound. Now you will remember that we have seen six angels have already sounded. In chapter 8, we read there, I saw seven angels which stood before God. They had seven trumpets. To each of them was given a trumpet, Revelation chapter 8. And then in verse 6, Revelation chapter 8, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And then chapter 8 and chapter 9, the first six trumpets blow. But the seventh trumpet hasn't blown yet. The seventh angel hasn't sounded. This last trump, the seventh trump, because there are only seven trumpets, and the seventh one is the last trumpet, and this last trumpet hasn't sounded yet. There's an interlude. A very important interlude, and part of that interlude is to see this mighty angel making this revelation. Six trumpets have sounded, but the seventh has not yet done so. The seventh trump has to sound. And at that point, the mystery of God should be finished. And when this mighty angel, and I've told you this is Christ, only Christ can decree this. When this mighty angel puts his hand up to the oath to God, the seventh angel will blow, and that'll be it over. It'll be finished then. Then the long suffering of God will be over. Then God's mystery will be complete. The plan as far as the church is concerned will be finished. And thereafter it will be forever with the Lord. Christ and his people forever in the new heavens and the new earth. The church will all have been brought in. Forever with the Lord. Paul mentioned this last trump, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You remember? I show you a mystery. We'll all be changed. We're all going to be sleeping. There's some living when Christ comes back again. But at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And what's going to happen? The dead will be raised incorruptible. And we'll all be changed. The living will be changed and transformed. We'll be forever with the Lord. The last enemy that will be dealt with will be death. Be over. Be finished. That's it. Death is swallowed up in victory. The last trump. Now, if we look at the seventh trumpet sounding in chapter 11, verse 15, it doesn't sound until verse 15 of the next chapter. There's another vision in the interlude in chapter 11 of the two witnesses. But in verse 15, the seventh trumpet sounded. Now, I don't intend to preach in this passage because we'll come to it in time. I just want to read it, and you'll see clearly that it's the end. Time is no more. The seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever." The 24 elders which sat down before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was opened in heaven. So this great last day event, where the dead are raised, and the judgment, and all the saints are receiving their rewards, and the wicked are dealt with, and the ungodly are destroyed. It's the end. Notice how those faithful servants of prophets are mentioned here. Verse 18, "And that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets." Does that sound familiar? Didn't we read that in our text tonight, which he's declared to his servants, the prophets? That's one part of the bracket. Here's the other part of the bracket. At the end of time, at the last trump, that those servants, the prophets, what are they going to get? They're going to get a great reward. All the saints are going to get a great reward, but you'll see how the servants of the prophets are named first. They're going to get a special reward because they received the mystery of God and they delivered it. And it was all true. They were faithful. It was all true. It's all been fulfilled. And they're going to be rewarded even in the face of great cost to their lives. They were faithful and they give us a word. And they're going to be rewarded at the last day, at the last trump, when it's all finished. Because they told about the finishing of it. They told about the plan and purposes of God. And God's going to remember them. They won't be forgotten. They'll be rewarded. And so that expression, his servants, the prophets, is just enclosing this all in. That's what it means by the mystery of God. I hope you've understood me tonight. It's been quite deep to try to explain these things to you. I hope I've been able to do it, help you understand. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to know that God knows the end from the beginning. And he's revealed it all in his word. And if we study the scriptures, we can have understanding of these things. How God is true. And how blessed his people are. And what a great inheritance there lies before them. And we shouldn't despair. God's building his church. He'll get all his saved in. There'll not be one of them lost. We needn't despair. He's a great plan to save people. And he will save them too. And there'll not be one of his elect lost. The very last tiny little stone. Don't know who he is. Don't know when he'll be alive. Don't know when he'll get saved. But when he does, that last little stone just completing the temple. Time no more. Time no more. No need for delay anymore, Father. They're all in. They're all in.